Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Guys and Dice Podcast. This is Dustin. I'm here with Rob. We're in person. It's been a while, and we're sorry about that. It's been a crazy kind of couple of weeks. School's ending for me, so like we're almost done with school, and Rob's had a crazy last couple of weeks. I don't know if you want to talk about what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got a little more free time on my hands, which is good. Uh-huh. By choice, I should say, so that's good.
just so no one gets the wrong idea. Right.
Ankle's coming along, you know, so, you know, Achilles is just taking its time, but hopefully we'll get back.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it has been, a lot has happened.
Yeah, I was at a bar with Rob, and it was like up 8 flights of stairs, and it took him maybe 10 minutes to get on the stairs.
That's tough. Well, the bar was like upstairs, and we had dinner beforehand, which was also upstairs, but the bathroom was downstairs.
Yeah.
So it was just a mess.
Yeah. Anyway, but good to be back in person. We are currently watching the UVA baseball game against Old Dominion. It's on, this is what, Sunday night?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just started. We got a leadoff single, although I guess there was a sack something. Anyway, we'll update you.
It's top of first right now, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated. But anyway, we've got a lot to talk about because we haven't been doing this for at least 3 weeks, maybe four. It's been a while.
Yeah, a while.
The last one was about the basketball player, right?
Well, it was I thought it was like spring football or something.
Oh, you're right. It was spring
football. It was after the spring game. So yeah, I mean, it's been a month. It's been a month.
Spring game thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because the spring game was like May 1st or 2nd. And here we are, June 6th. I think it's June 6th. I don't even really know anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's embarrassing. I was looking at our episodes, and I had episode 105 twice in a row. So so this is actually 107.
Okay. All good to know.
Good to know. That's good to know. Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about. And before we get into it, we do want to talk about our sponsors from Locker Room. Locker Room is a live audio-only sports talking platform. It is free to download and free to use. You can talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time while you're watching the games. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. You can download it today and create your own account, follow whoever you want to, and make sure to create your account and download the Locker Room app for free on the iOS App Store today.
UVA football is the softest bunch of cream puffs, bow tie wearing, brie cheese eating, Ascot wearing wussies I've ever seen in my life. I'm gonna punch people from UVA right in the neck. They wear suits to games. That's absurd.
Sad. We don't have Bet Online anymore.
Oh, really?
No. No, dang, we're done.
That's sad.
I know. They couldn't come to an agreement. It was like Bet Online was tough. It was like they were trying to make us do all this like mid stuff and like share a bunch of stuff online, and you know, we just didn't want to
just the shrewd negotiators at the table. Yeah. Just like, nah.
Yeah, I think the idea was not to bog down the good fans of the podcast. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So we only have locker room right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll come back. There's anybody can advertise with us. Literally anybody. So it's all good.
If anyone wants to advertise, yeah, call, send us a DM. We'll figure something out. Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about. So we have, since our last podcast, we've won two national titles. Coach K retired, and we've got some football transfers. So we're going to touch on everything at first. I think what we do want to talk about first is I think Coach K retiring, mostly because it's most recent. Also because I think it hasn't been talked about like ad nauseum yet. And so
we'll get there. But
we'll get there eventually. Yeah, I think this season is just going to be
it's going to be unbearable.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be unbearable.
It's going to be tough. I'm really interested to see what like different fan bases do. Like I feel like if I was at a game, I would clap. And I know that's maybe not a strong opinion. I know you cringe when I said that.
I was gonna say I was gonna boo.
Boo, but. Yeah, boo. But like, I might boo and clap. Yeah, I might do both because while I do like dislike everything he stands for, he's also been like a great coach. And I had a conversation on Twitter with a couple people, but you know, as dominant as Virginia's been in the ACC since 2013, most wins in the ACC in that time, Duke has dominated Tony Bennett during that time too. So even though, you know, Tony Bennett crushes most of the ACC, except Coach K and FSU, Leonard Hamilton, Mike Krzyzewski is the only one that really gives Tony Bennett fits. And it's not even because, you know, of the players. I think a lot of it has to do with coaching and, of course, you know, all the national titles, all the stuff that he's done for the sport, you know, being the national coach for many years and stepping away from that. So I think I would clap, but also boo. I think I might do both.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, he probably deserves a clap.
I think
so.
You
know, he's like
one clap.
Yeah. He deserves like a second of recognition for being arguably the best coach in college basketball history.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I feel like most people listening to this probably hate K.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of reasons. I never liked the guy to begin with. I'll say like the moment I really realized I hate him was in the 2012 season when we beat Duke at home court. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Joe Harris has 36 points.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we ended up not making the tournament that year. But everyone thought, oh, with that win, we're going to the tournament. And the story of the game wasn't the upset. The story of the game was K complaining for a week about how we had rushed the court, mm-hmm, and how he was terrified and like how his players were in danger. When you watch the video, like they were all protected and K was the first one off the court, mm-hmm, like before his players.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy just sucks. I don't like this guy. Anyway, so he's a very hateable guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to deny his greatness, but I am going to like say like, didn't like the guy necessarily.
You know, I wonder if it was our court storming of Duke that really prompted K to start taking the players off early. You know, he does that sometimes. If you can, like, because you can feel when there's someone's about to court storm you. He started to do that a couple times. He did against Miami, very famously.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been a couple others as well. And so I wonder if that was the main thing. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Well, I mean, like other moments, like, you know, you got to think about his like little situation with the student reporter,
mm-hmm,
you know, that was this season. It was like,
what's your major?
Yeah, that was awful. And then like, you know, the press conference was obviously a very hateable moment, mm-hmm, where he comes out with all the clapping and everything.
Yeah.
And like Kay is like totally wants this to be all about him. Like, he'll say, like, oh, this is the family, the Duke, mm-hmm, family. Like, no, dude, this is just going to be the most insufferable farewell tour we've, mm-hmm, ever seen in our lives.
Yeah, the other thing I want to say is that over the past couple of years, he's become more insufferable for just the way in which he... Because I don't feel like he's a good coach anymore. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he can still recruit, and, you know, you've got the brand, and you've got some... He's got some great assistant coaches. You know, we'll talk about John Shire a little bit later, being the coach in waiting for the year after, but I just don't feel like his coaching is where it is. And I think this is the same thing with Roy Williams. And, you know, when he retired, right? Like over the past couple of years, UNC's not been that good. Even though they have the players, they haven't been able to keep up with the times of basketball. Their times are changing, and you know, I think it's been tough for them to get there as well. You know, Coach K's been beating John Calipari at the one and done game, mm-hmm. but you know, when you have a team of Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish, along with several other five-star recruits and really good backup players, you don't make the Final Four, I think that's tough, right?
There was a thread on one of the Duke message boards that one of my friends from .com sent me, and they were talking about that season. Like, how did they not win the championship?
Right.
It's like, well, you almost lost first round, mm-hmm. then Tech should have beat them.
Yeah.
And then they lost, well, they lost to, didn't mm-hmm. they to Taco Fall, that team?
No. Or, they lost to Michigan State.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. No, I mean, there's a whole thread about that. My buddy was, he was just laughing. He was like, well, yeah, that was the year we won.
Yeah,
but they beat us twice that year.
They did beat, I was just about to say, they beat us twice. That was the one team that we struggled to play against, right? Yeah. And that's the thing about Coach K. And I don't know if, you know, I'd like to say it's a matchup problem. I think Zion is a matchup problem.
It's a talent problem.
It's a talent problem, yeah. Right? Exactly. Like, we just didn't have the same talent as they did. Even though, you know, I mean, we had three guys from that team go into the NBA. Four with Mamadi.
Yeah.
And Jay Huff maybe this year. And Trey Murphy was on that team. But yeah, we had a lot of great players on that team. But they did as well. You know, they had three first-round picks. Zion Williamson is a generational talent who we have just barely begun to see because of injury problems so far.
Yep.
RJ Barrett is okay, I guess. Cam Reddish is not – he's not doing great. But anyway, you know, I just think it's incredible they didn't make the Final Four that year.
No, I mean, it is.
I mean, looking back, it's insane. Now, you know, they almost lose to UCF and Taco Fall in the second round.
Yep.
And then they almost lose to Virginia Tech in the Sweet 16. And then they lose in the Elite Eight to, I guess, a good Michigan State team. But, you know, certainly they had more talent than that Michigan State team. And I think they should have won. They should have been in the Final Four.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing, you know, we're talking about, like, Kay and that team and, you know, Roy retiring as well. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, to Kay's credit, like, Kay has definitely adapted with the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Roy's style was very effective, but, mm-hmm. you know, might have just lost a step as a coach kind of towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that just happens. You know, you think of Frank Beamer, you know, mm-hmm. Maybe even put Dom Starge in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, incredible coaches that just, you know, had a couple lackluster seasons towards mm-hmm. the end of their career. Kay has evolved.
You can look at George Welsh, too. George Welsh, same thing.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, he had a couple bad seasons, and then he was kind of – he was out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at Kay. You know, Kay, to his credit, has evolved, and, you know, he kind of has truly embraced the one-and-done model.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether or not that's sustainable, you know, we're still kind of – you know, we've seen one-and-dones now for, you know, all in on one-and-dones for, call it, like, 10 years or so now.
Ever since the rule, no one really embraced it. That was in the early 2000s.
Yeah, but Calipari was really the first to like, really embrace mm-hmm. it. Like, I'm going to build a team like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, to Kay's credit, he did adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Duke has seasons where they're not as good this past season, for mm-hmm. example. But, you know, they really have stayed with the times, and Kay has shown the ability to adapt. I'll give him that. He's just a hateable guy, you know? Like, I'm not, like, you know, like you said, if he came on the court, you know, during this farewell tour, which, as we'll say again, is going to be insufferable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 10 straight months of this. But, yeah, I mean, does he deserve a clap? Probably. Does he deserve an applause? Yeah, probably. But, man, it's going to be tough. Man.
My guess, let's go through some teams that they're going to play and take a guess if they're going to clap or boo or some of both.
I'm curious about the North Carolina teams.
I am too.
Because you got UNC, which obviously is the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even throw Wake and NC State in there. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they going to do? I mean, you can put Virginia in there as well. You know, not a North Carolina team, but mm-hmm. certainly a rivalry with tradition that goes back pretty far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm curious too. And then, like, you have, you know, what is Syracuse, not a traditional ACC school, but, you know, Boeheim, kind of the same pedigree as Kay
mm-hmm.
in terms of long-tenured, legendary-type coach. Anyway, it is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I need to find their schedule. Anyway, well, let's just I don't know any of their non-conference
games. I don't think it's been released yet.
I don't know any of their non-conference games, but let's take a look at the ACC schools. So UNC, let's start with UNC, the big one. Like, what happens when they go to Chapel Hill?
I really don't know. I honestly feel like they might give them like an applause.
I think they're gonna clap.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna have a tribute video.
Oh my god! If there's tribute videos this season,
I think UNC's gonna have one for sure. That's the thing. Like that's the rivalry.
Yeah.
Right. So like if they don't like acknowledge it, like think back to like Kobe and Jeter did this too. Like when Jeter was going to like what happened at I don't know what happened at Fenway. When Jeter went to Fenway.
I have no idea. We should have looked that up. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if anyone knows, tell us. But, like, I don't know. So, I my guess for K at Carolina is that they're going to clap. Okay. They seem like, you know, that's like the – and thinking back to, like, how Roy was and, like, how that – whole stadium is set up with like the students way at the top and the old people yeah. all on the bottom. My guess is they will clap.
Okay.
My guess is they'll clap. What do you think?
I mean, I do ultimately feel like you're right. I feel like when push comes to shove, mm-hmm. people are going to pay their respects. But I just hate to think about it, dude. Yeah. Like, if there's tribute videos out there, dude, I'm going to be so angry. Like, right. if UVA at JPJ, if there's a tribute video to K, like, I'm done.
I don't know if UVA will do that.
I hope they don't do that. I don't think they would. UVA is pretty by the book. Like mm-hmm. it takes a lot for them
especially
to kind
with
of change,
Tony. Yeah especially
to change
with Tony.
Their like game day routine or like anything like that.
Like think back to like the only time I can remember them doing the last time they did something special was when Malcolm's jersey was retired.
Yeah, I was shocked by that.
And they had t-shirts yeah. and he came out at before it was it before the game or halftime?
It was before the game, I think. Or it might have been both. I don't know.
I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, the t-shirts were huge.
And that was only a year after he graduated.
Which was also really weird.
Yeah, I was surprised that happened. It was like Chris Long. Remember when Chris Long got his jersey retired mm-hmm. before the Virginia Tech game? Like, he mm-hmm. still had two more games in a UVA yeah. uniform and they retired his jersey?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I guess they'll go off script a little bit. But I'd be surprised if they did in this instance.
But yeah, but that was just for their own. There wasn't like anything... I can't remember other than like something like a moment of silence before the national anthem or something, but they've never done anything like that for anyone.
Yeah.
But this is an unusual situation, right? Like most coaches don't announce before the season.
Yeah, most coaches don't need the giant farewell tour.
Right. And most aren't like, this is my last year. Pay your respects, you know? Like I can like most coaches are either just retire at the end of the season, like Roy did, or they get fired if they're bad or, you know, whatever. So I think it's just, you know, I'm interested. I bet UVA claps. I almost guarantee it.
I think UVA will too.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like it, but
no,
I won't.
As I said, if I go, I'll boo and clap. Okay. Here's another question. How much do you think tickets are going to be for the UNC Duke game? Last game
dude,
of K
be, yeah,
at
dude, Duke. It's going to be a lot. Yeah. It's going to be crazy. Like the students are going to be camped, like, crazies, man. Like, I'm sure that game for the last Duke mm-hmm. Carolina game will be crazy. I'm sure the last game at Cameron Indoor he'll do will be crazy too.
Oh, I bet the last home game of the season for them is gonna be Carolina.
Yeah,
it's gotta be. Yeah, if the ACC screws up that scheduling, I will never forgive them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like you're totally right.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a lot, dude. I mean, it's not like there's a lot of tickets in there to begin with.
No. And and also, you know, his last game at Carolina, even the game in Charlottesville, right? Like the Duke tickets are already several hundred dollars when Duke comes, like even in upper seats. If it's his last game, especially some of the older people who, you know, there's Duke fans all over the place and they'll travel and people will go to these things. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting and SportsCenter is going to have a whole thing.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be awful. This whole season, like, this has almost ruined the season for me. It's just knowing that it's just going to be Billis just showering praise mm-hmm. on Kay the entire season. Mm-hmm. Like, game day, Sports Center, mm-hmm. like, it's going to be insufferable.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham, or if you guys still watch that, like, they're going to be all over that.
They don't mention that Kay is also the devil. They forget to say that sometimes, that he is reincarnated. As the literal devil. So anyway, Oh, let's move on. Let's talk about his replacement, John Shire. So John Shire, of course, was the was a player for Duke, right? He played on their championship team in, I think, 2000. I think it was 2008.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. I think that's when they won. So, you know, he's only 33. He's young. As Coach K said in his press conference, you know, he was 33 when he took over the job, you know, however many years ago, 40-something years ago. And his first 3 years didn't go well, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how Shire does. What do you think is going to be, how do you think it's going to go with Shire as a new head coach for Duke?
You know, it's tough because I really don't have a feel.
Let me rephrase it, right? How would anyone do following up
the greatest coach? It's
right?
An impossible job, right. You know? Because you have to come in. Obviously, K has been there for, 40 years? Mm-hmm. Maybe even longer. Yeah, it's impossible. You never want to be the guy succeeding the legend because the bar is set so high that you're always going to be compared against him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously for his career, like, it's a tremendous opportunity. I'm sure he'd take it 10 times out of 10. But it is a high-pressure job, yeah. You know? And, like, K is, like Duke basketball is one of, if not the only college basketball school that, like, has a legitimate brand. Like, people know Duke basketball because it's Duke basketball. And, like, now you're trusted to uphold that. Now, you know, he's coming from a situation where he's learned from K for the past 10 or so years. Mm-hmm. Like, very, very familiar with the program.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a tough job to fill. How do you feel about it?
I just think he's set up for failure. I just don't see how... Like, if he doesn't do well, you know, there, and I don't know about, like recruiting, is that going to change? I know that Shire has been a key recruiter. He recruited Jason Tatum there, mm-hmm. right? He was the lead guy for Jason Tatum. He's helped to do a lot of the recruiting for, you know, some of the – they get good recruiting classes every year. So I think all the assistant coaches get credit there. But, you know, I think Shire's been there. He's been coaching – in Durham since 2013. He was a special assistant, and then he was assistant coach in 2014, and then he was promoted to associate head coach in 2018. I think that was after Pitt head coach. Shoot. Mind blank.
I'm blanking.
I can see him.
Anyway.
This is embarrassing. Anyway, he was promoted after that guy left.
Shoot. Oh, Cable, right? Yeah.
Yes,
sorry, we both blanked.
Oh my god. Yeah. Anyway, so but now I just don't see how anyone can live up to what people expect from Duke basketball, right? Like if he can't get recruits or if he can't, you know, coach as well as some people think he can, it's gonna be quit. I think I don't know how long his leash is, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, his benefit is that Kay has given a stamp of approval on this.
Yeah.
So he's going to have Kay's backing for, you know, call it at least 2 years, unless things go really, really bad.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, he doesn't have, like, a coaching career outside of Duke, really. So, right. Like, it's not like we can point and be like, oh, well, he was head coach of this team and they did X, Y, and Z, so we expect them to do that, too. Like, you know, he's going to be his own coach. Like, I'm sure... K's traditions, like the way the team is coached in general, will be similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of it the same way. Like if Tony Bennett were to step down and one of his assistants got elevated, like we'd probably still run the pack line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of similarities in the way, you know, Duke is still coached and the way they look. I guess what remains to be seen is how effective it will be. You know, it's kind of, you know, almost a case study on K in general and saying, you know, has K really just been getting by on talent? If Shire's still able to recruit the same talent, but mm-hmm. maybe they don't do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, alternatively, if they stop recruiting at the level they've been recruiting and you're like, all right, was K like just a recruiter? You know, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, there's really not like a body of work to, you know, say definitively one way or the other. Like, yeah, I think this is going to be a good succession plan.
I mean, you know, the other thing to think about is, will they change their will they change the way that they play and recruit, right? Like, do they go back to more of a, like a, how we, how, like, how Duke, how we grew up on Duke, right? Like the old, like, tough on defense, hustle for ground balls, you know, punching people sometimes, being nasty, slapping the floor, that kind of stuff, right? Do they go back to that? Because he played in from 2006 to 2010.
Yeah.
Won the championship in 2010. So I was a couple years off. But you know, does he go back to those roots or does he stick with the one and done model?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's really just tough to say one way or the other.
Right.
You know, like I said, I'm sure he would take this position 10 times out of 10. I mean, who wouldn't want to be Duke head basketball coach, you know, especially a guy who played at Duke. Like, mm-hmm. that's the dream. And this is something that's been talked about for a long time because, mm-hmm. you know, despite his jet black hair, which in no way is natural, Kay is in his 70s. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's not a shock that he's retiring necessarily. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough place to perform. You know, expectations are going to be high. And at 33, he's going to be in the national spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah. You know, I actually, speaking of his hair, he's letting his hair grow gray now. In his press conference, his hair was gray. I think it's gray.
Okay.
Like, so it might have been the lighting, but I think I think retirement means gray hair.
Okay. Well, I mean, that'll be a sight to see, man.
I know.
You know, anyway, but yeah. So we'll see what it means for the ACC. I mean, Duke's still going to have the brand. Mm-hmm. They're still going to have all the former players, you know, everything that goes with that. But yeah, you know, it's tough to say, you know, how they're going to do afterwards. I'm sure, I mean, they'll still, at least immediately, still be able, I think, to land a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. I think the success of the first couple seasons, you know, call it first season or two, is really going to determine, you know, are they able to still recruit at the level they've been recruiting at, or does the philosophy need to change?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, we're probably 2 years away from knowing that.
I would, you know, I want to talk about a little bit just how the ACC is going to be different, right, in the upcoming years. Because next year we're not going to have Roy Williams, which is going to be strange. The year after that we're not going to have Coach K.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Boeheim is 76.
My guess is Boeheim leaves when Buddy graduates.
I think that's what most people think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he'll be gone soon.
Yeah.
Leonard Hamilton is miraculously in his 70s as well. He looks like he's 50, but he's in his 70s. You know, Jim Larranaga's in his 70s or close to it. You know, we've got a lot of old coaches in the ACC. So, you know, eventually, like sooner rather than later, Tony Bennett's going to be one of the most experienced coaches in the ACC.
Yeah.
Which is something weird to think about.
Well, I mean, it's weird to think about too. Honestly, what? So this will be his 12th season. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about. He's been around for as long as he has been.
Mm-hmm.
Still considered, you know, young by head coaching standards.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think someone on Twitter was talking about this, you know, like you call it 3 or 4 years, like Tony Bennett probably really will be the face of the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a guy that's like going out of his way for media interviews or mm-hmm. like, you know, doing things to like, you know, build the spotlight of the program. So, you know, I expect it to be different from Kay, you mm-hmm. know, who's, you know, very proudly, you know, toting his accomplishments. You know, even Roy, like, you know, Roy is a much more social guy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going out of his way to necessarily find the spotlight, but he enjoys the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to be different, you know, like, we'll see how Shire does. And you know, how kind of these programs, you know, entering the next phase, UNC, Syracuse, et cetera, kind of evolve,
mm-hmm.
but it is going to be different. And I think, you know, maybe quieter in a sense,
yeah.
you know, when Tony Bennett's kind of the face of the ACC, but yeah, I mean, it's a good honor to have, obviously.
That's yeah. It's just, I'm not exactly sure. Like, does the ACC lose credibility now? Like, I think it all depends on how these programs do with new head coaches, right? Especially UNC and Duke, because they've been the face of the ACC for forever, mm-hmm. like, for as long as I can remember. Probably since the 80s, right? 70s and 80s, they've been the face. But along with, like, in, you know, NC State's been good. But especially in basketball terms, you know, it's been UNC and Duke. And now that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, credibility. You know, honestly, like, the Big 12, Big 10, they've been just as good, if not better, than the ACC for
right.
the last couple of
last
years.
Last couple of years especially, yeah.
yeah. So, you, I mean, the basketball landscape has shifted a little bit in the sense of that, you know, these kind of Midwestern teams mm-hmm. are really excelling and doing well, and then Gonzaga is kind of out there as mm-hmm. well. But, yeah, you know, maybe prestige is a better word. You know, maybe does ACC basketball, is it? Does it become looked at more like ACC football, where mm-hmm. you kind of have Clemson and then everybody else? Mm-hmm. You know, the hope would be that
we're
the Clemson. Yeah, exactly. You know, we're the Clemson equivalent when it comes to basketball. But yeah, like you said, I mean, to be seen. But no, I mean, I don't think the ACC is going to like lose its luster necessarily in the national mm-hmm. spotlight. I think Duke is just too big a brand. UNC, not quite at that level, but similar.
Yeah.
You know, if you go in the Northeast, Syracuse is a much bigger deal than it is here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it will be different. There's no question about that.
And I think also, you know, with the programs like, you know, Pitt has really fallen by the wayside since Jamie Dixon left, and Louisville as well. You know, they haven't been nearly as good since the whole scandal and
Patino,
you know, Patino leaving. Yeah. So, you know, those two programs were brought into the ACC for basketball purposes. And Syracuse as well. Syracuse
yeah,
as well.
100%.
And even Syracuse hasn't really been that good, like, in the regular season for most of that time,
yeah.
you know. And that is just super – it's just weird that, you know, is the ACC – it'll be interesting to see if the ACC drops even more with new coaches at Carolina and at Duke.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And – it is a changing of the guard, you know, like mm-hmm. Kay, Roy, I mean, that's already huge,
yeah.
you know, and Kay will be gone after next season. You know, Boeheim, I think, will be right around that time frame mm-hmm. as well. And then, you know, Leonard Hamilton, you know, put some respect on his name. You know, he's been around for a while, but, you know, he doesn't quite get the national love, probably because of lack of a Final Four.
And he's, but he's a,
good.
He's not great. Going anywhere. Like, I feel like he's just peaking as a coach right
yeah.
now. He's getting the recruits. They play tough. I hate playing Florida State. They're always
yeah,
so long.
Does. They're so athletic. They're so big. They're physical.
They're
well, they can hit shots.
And that's the thing. They're well coached. Leonard Hamilton is a good coach. He coaches them. He makes them tough. They play great defense. You know, I love watching Florida State, but they annoy me because of he just gets tall. He just gets length. You know, he just gets long guys, which is tough. So I'm excited to. To see, you know, where the ACC goes from here. And I'm interested to see, you know, how Hubert Davis does at UNC,
yeah.
as well as, you know, how Shire does and against Duke, for Duke next year. And also, you know, I think it will be interesting to see Kay and how he does this season. I think that's going to be a major storyline of this season, as insufferable as it will be, you know, to know someone, like, I just call him Kay, like, one letter, and you know who I'm talking about. Right. So I think that means that shows how important he is in college basketball and sports and everything like that. So, you know, I'm interested to see how he does this season. I am interested. I'm not like you. I'm actually more interested this season rather than less interested.
It's the way Kay wants it, man.
Yeah, I know.
He
sucked me in. Yeah. It's some devil's work right there. But anyway, Rob, any last thoughts on Coach K retiring, Roy, anything like that?
Nah, I mean, what you had said quite like a week ago, whatever K announced it, is mm-hmm. you were like, yeah, I feel like K just hijacked the podcast.
Yeah.
Because we did want to talk about, you know, lacrosse
yeah.
winning a national title. Obviously, that's been, you know, over a week ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want to spend some time on that. So, you know, now that we've spent however much time we have on Coach K,
mm-hmm.
you know, definitely ready to talk about that, because I mean that is a big accomplishment.
Let's talk about you some UVA stuff
yeah.
on the UVA on the UVA sports podcast. this is not a Duke basketball
K's
podcast.
The worst, man. Just hijacks everything.
Look what he's done. He's tearing us apart. but yeah, so UVA lacrosse beats Maryland in the NCAA championship, 17-16. That was on Memorial Day.
Last weekend, right?
Last Monday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been a long week. I'm sorry. and so, you know, it was a great game. I wasn't able to watch it. I was actually with my future in-laws, so I was being polite, but I did keep going to the bathroom to check my phone. And I saw the highlights. It looked like a really funny – I haven't recorded, so I got to watch it. But, you know, back-to-back championships is difficult to do in any sport. And I know there was the COVID year in between, but Rob, what are some of your thoughts on the back-to-back championships, defending the championship?
Yeah, well, it's a big deal, obviously. And, you know, it's a little different since, you know, there wasn't a championship last year, mm-hmm. but it was back-to-back, you know. No, I mean, it was a great game. Virginia led most of the way, but you knew this game was going to come down mm-hmm. the wire. Great save at the end by Alex Rode, making that stop, you know, literally at the buzzer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a great play. Lacrosse was a big deal, you know, winning back-to-back championships. And, you know, two things kind of stood out. You know, I was talking with a couple people about this. You know, one, you know, is it too early to start talking about Lars Tiffany's legacy?
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back, obviously, Dom Starcia was there for a long time, you know, did great things with the program. But mm-hmm. I want to say Dom won 5 titles and Lars has already won 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously a great start to his career. And, you know, like he's on track, you know, to realistically go down as potentially another UVA great head coach. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not inconceivable to think he could be coaching here for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, second part is, you know, is this like one of the more impressive national championships we've seen?
Mm-hmm.
And this, at least in lacrosse, men's lacrosse? Because, yeah. you know, you think about it, I think it was straight chalk in the Final Four. You know, all very good teams. The announcers are talking about the whole time how this is the best Final Four field they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I was talking about a lot with one of my friends from high school was the lacrosse landscape is so different now than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so different, you know, now than it was 20 years ago. And you can keep going like that. There's a lot more teams. Mm-hmm. You know, the ACC has expanded. The Big Ten has teams now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yale won a championship a few years ago. The mm-hmm. Ivy League is still a force to be reckoned with. You know, lacrosse is a much more competitive sport, less regional and more national than it has ever been.
Yeah.
You know, not to say lacrosse is filling up football stadiums by mm-hmm. any means, but a lot more schools have teams now. And I think lacrosse as a whole is a more competitive sport than it was a few years ago. It's kind of like the opposite of football, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
football is really consolidated at the top, like Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama. Lacrosse has really expanded. You
yeah.
know, despite the fact that UVA has won 2 consecutive national titles, you know, UNC is so good, Notre Dame so good, Duke, you know, Syracuse, Denver, you know,
mm-hmm.
like all these schools, Yale, Penn State,
yeah.
you know, there's so many schools. So I think this has a case to be made as maybe the most impressive men's lacrosse title, you know, won not just by UVA, but just in general, because the sport is becoming more and more competitive.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, the thing about it, you know, we beat the number one seed, UNC, in the semifinal. We beat the number one undefeated team. They were ranked number one the whole year, but they were undefeated the entire year as well. Before that in Maryland, you know, this was a really great team effort. And, you know, the team wasn't, you know, this happens sometimes with Virginia, and I know this happened in the 2019 season as well. Not as good at the beginning of the season. You know, we lose 2 games against Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
They just had our number somehow. But, you know, the ACC is tough, and, you know, with Notre Dame and Syracuse, and the Final Four was all ACC and old ACC.
Yeah.
yeah. So it was UVA, UNC, Duke, and Maryland. Just a great Final Four, really fun to watch. I saw a lot of people, as you were saying with like the growing sport aspect of it, I saw so many people on Twitter being like, oh, wow, like lacrosse is so fun to watch.
And Big Cat was watching it, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's just like, and it's not like too difficult to get into because like some like people know hockey, you know, there's aspects of soccer and football involved. A lot of it's quick, like baseball. I don't know. Hey, you used to play lacrosse, right? The motion of the throwing the ball is very much like baseball.
I mean, fundamentally, it's very mm-hmm. similar to basketball.
Yeah.
So
exactly. So it's really cool, and it takes aspects from a lot of different sports. The rules are pretty easy to understand. And it's so fast paced. A couple of years ago, what is it? 5 or 6 years ago, when they started doing the quick restart of the clock, and you know they add the shot clock in, so it's just a really fast, fun game. And I wish I watched more of it, I did watch all the games in the tournament that UVA played in. And so I just love watching it. It's so fun. And yeah, I'm glad it's growing.
I mean, it's a fun sport. Yeah. And honestly, I did not think I was going to like the shot clock, but mm-hmm. I definitely like the shot clock.
Yeah.
Like it's a great addition to the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a fun sport, man. You know, it doesn't get the national press. It's still, you know, largely still pretty regional along the East Coast, really the Northeast, if we're getting really particular about mm-hmm. it. But you know, it's growing and, you know, as we're watching this, UVA just hit a home run, so we're up 4-0 over Old Dominion. Sorry, switching spring sports here. but, you know, speaking of baseball, you know, that's another thing that kind of is an obstacle to lacrosse's growth as a sport. It's just mm-hmm. the existence of baseball because, you know, well, like, actually, you know, yeah. like football is the sport in the fall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when you hit the winter, you know,
it's basketball.
At least for men's, it's basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, lacrosse has to fight kind of the historic nature of baseball in America.
Yeah.
Baseball is still kind of the definitive spring sport in this yeah. country. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. You know, it was cool for me too. I was at the championship in 2011 when we beat Maryland. Mm-hmm. So 10 years later now, you know, unfortunately it was not in Connecticut, but it was cool to see, you know, another kind of UVA over Maryland championship.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was a fun end to the season. I mean, you know, the way we crushed Georgetown.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get the dramatic win over UNC mm-hmm. and Maryland. It was a great end.
Yeah. So I am, you know, and, you know, going back to the Lars Tiffany.
Sorry, I'm a bit disconnected.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay, good.
I just want to make sure it was on mic.
No, I am, you know, just going back to the Lars Tiffany aspect of it. I mean, he is also one of the, you know, there's a UVA coaching mold of like, having a lot of grace, having a lot of being calm, but also very, you know, humble. And Lars Tiffany embodies all of that. You know, he's very, very much like Tony Bennett, very much like Bronco Mendenhall in that way too. Not as weird as Bronco, but still very, very, you know, humble and thankful. And I really, he seems like a great guy. And I'm excited to see, you know, where he can continue to take the program.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, him and Bronco are pretty good friends.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, he consulted Bronco because the way the lacrosse season was is without the ACC tournament, they mm-hmm. had to go 3 weeks from their last game before yep. the start of the NCAA yep. tournament. And he consulted Bronco. He was like, how do you run practices before a bowl game? Because mm-hmm. it's a similar time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Bronco worked together on kind of outlining schedule on that.
Yep.
Bronco is an avid reader. And Lars, maybe not to the extent Bronco is, but is also a big reader and will mm-hmm. give the players like books to read because he thinks it'll help them with this problem and that problem and what have you. So mm-hmm. he and Bronco actually, you know, I don't know if Lars is as outwardly, you know, different as maybe Bronco is as a football coach.
Yeah.
And I say that because Bronco is very open. You know, he loves the aspect of developing young people. He doesn't necessarily love the aspect of coaching college football, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. I don't know if Lars is that way. Lars loves lacrosse. You know, Lars is big on the heritage with the Native Americans and mm-hmm. carries the wooden lacrosse stick around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's some differences there. But as far as, you know, interests and the way they interact with the players, mm-hmm. there's a lot of similarities in the way they plan and everything else like that. So, anyway, point being, just like you said, like, he fits the mold of the UVA head coach.
Yep.
You know, he fits it to a T. And so far, he's been very successful.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm excited to see what he continues to do. You know, still defending national champs for, you know, we're going to go have 3 years of UVA national champs, which is great. Another national championship that we just had was in women's tennis. We, Rob, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. You know, admittedly, can't say I really followed this one, but this yeah. was an individual championship. It was mm-hmm. not a team championship, so it won't add to the count that, what, UVA is at 29 mm-hmm. now?
29.
Okay. But anyway, freshman Emma Navarro for the women's tennis team, freshman out of Charleston, South Carolina, she won the women's tennis singles championship Friday before Memorial Day weekend,
mm-hmm.
That match being in Orlando, Florida. And she beat the defending national champion out of Miami, so that was mm-hmm. kind of cool. Beat her in straight set, 6-3, 6-1.
Yeah.
So, again, not a team championship. A lot of athletes from, you know, not just UVA, but, I mean, heck, even Virginia Tech mm-hmm. won individual national championships. But it's a tremendous accomplishment for her to win the women's singles.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, she just crushed people. Like, it wasn't even close, you know? It only took 75 minutes, 6-3, 6-1. And that's crazy, you know, how impressive that was. So, you know, we will watch her career with great interest. And I hope that, you know, she continues to do it. Kind of like a couple of years ago as well when what's her face won? Shoot. Blinking.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But she won 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is embarrassing. We should know this. But
Danielle
Collins.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting with Emma Navarro. Her closest match was actually the round of 32, where she lost the first set 1-6, but then won the subsequent set 7-5 and then 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
After that, she pretty much proved. Well, I take that back. Semifinals was 3 sets as well.
Yeah.
Against UNC. But anyway, an impressive feat nonetheless. So I'm glad we could talk about it.
Exactly. Rob, I know it's been a while. Are there any football updates in terms of recruiting, people visiting, any updates on young Manning and how he's doing, how we're doing in his recruiting process?
Young Manning, according to The Athletic, has not ruled us out. So that's a step in the right direction.
That's all. You know, that's as much as we can ask for at this point.
I forget what other schools he mentioned with us. But he's like, yeah, schools.
I think
like,
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, like schools like Vanderbilt and Virginia, you know. Mm-hmm. They kind of are more like me off the field type of deal. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, what does that mean? Yeah. We're not as good on the field, maybe. Yeah. Academic, I don't know. Anyway, we have not been ruled out. So that's an intriguing one to follow. Yeah, you know, at this point, we're in a big period for recruiting. So the dead period, which had been in effect since COVID, which essentially eliminated in-person interactions with recruits and coaches, that was lifted on June 1st. So we're 5 days into the end of the dead period. Okay. What does that mean? That means a lot of players, there's just a built-up demand of players who have been postponing these official and unofficial visits.
Mm-hmm.
So with football, there was a bunch of official visits this past weekend. There's going to be more each weekend of June.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a big time for commitments. I think we're going to see a lot of the class of 2022 for football commits starting to get filled out.
Yeah.
You know, most recent commitment being Davis Lane, the quarterback, out of Liberty Christian Academy. So anyway, with him, you know, he's a tremendous athlete, track star, one of the best track runners, you know, in the country, honestly. So it definitely fits kind of the dual threat quarterback mold.
Mm-hmm.
Also of note is that he goes to the same high school as 5-star Zach Rice, who we're recruiting heavily. Zach Rice will be taking an official visit soon as well.
Okay.
So yeah, anyway, there's a lot of action on the recruiting front. And then, you know, on the, you know, transfer front, we just added a new wide receiver, Artie Henry out of Marshall. He essentially is backfilling the scholarship of Garrett Vollmer, who just transferred to Old Dominion from UVA. So there's going to be you know, we'll see if there's any more transfers to come. You know, by my math, we probably need someone to leave before we can accept another transfer.
Okay.
As far as scholarships count go. But yeah, you know, we're in a hot period of recruiting right now. I think it's the best way to say it. So I think there's going to be kind of a wave of commitments for people to follow probably over the next 1 to 2 months.
Okay, cool. So it's the fun time, basically.
You know, I love when they're practicing. I love, like, you know, in the games. I love when there's football on the field. But, yeah, you know, hopefully there's nothing bad happening over the next month or two. It's just going to be mostly additions to the roster via 2022 class.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. I have nothing to add to the football recruiting. But with Little Manning, I saw a video of him at the Clemson football camp this weekend, and he just tossed a straight dime to like 50-yard pass right in the receiver's hands, highly covered. He looks good. So, I mean, it's without pads and it's situational stuff, so, you know, that makes it look good. But, you know, it's cool to even be mentioned in the conversation with you know, the number one recruit in the whole country. So, even though he'll probably end up at, you know, Clemson or, you know, Ole Miss or Tennessee or something like that, you know, We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, too, it should be noted, I think a big reason we're in the conversation is just family connections.
Yeah.
And not the Peyton and Eli side of the family, necessarily. Right. Peyton Manning's wife has been documented, attended mm-hmm. UVA. I think the kid who we're recruiting, his older sister, mm-hmm. I think is a first or second
year. I think she's going to start next year.
Okay. So anyway, there's family connections there, which are helping us out.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think that's the only thing we have going for us.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how long we can drag this out and, you know, maybe make it interesting for us. Maybe not, but, you know, regardless. You know, it is interesting, too. He's a pocket passer, so... You know, he's not the Bronco dual threat type quarterback.
Do we even want him? That's the real question.
You know,
do we even recruit him at this point?
So he can't be a Thorny back. It shows how real the interest is, the fact that we are going to be recruiting a guy. I mean, he has the Manning last name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's a guy that does not really fit our offensive system, but you can build a system around him, much the same way we did with Ben Kurt.
Yeah.
Except hopefully this one would be even better.
Even better. So, yes.
Anyway, that's where we're at.
Cool. I'm that's good to hear. I think it's just fun. Have I ever told you I met Mrs. Manning, Peyton Manning's wife, one night? I was at the Virginian and we were she was dancing on tables with everyone else. It was fun. Yeah. We hung out with her for
a while. Was that the same night? I think it was our fourth year that Peyton was in town too. Like, was he?
No. This was a random weekend.
Okay.
I think she was there for like, she's on like some committee or something. And so she was in town for like a meeting. And like, I think they're at the table next to us. It was like me and my buddy Tim.
Yep.
And I think someone else. And Tim is a Colts fan. Like, he loves the Colts. Manning is like his dude. And So the guy, we were, you know, I was chatting with she was there with someone else who was like her friend. And I was like, she was like, do you know who that is? And I was like, no. And he's like, that's Peyton Manning's wife. And I was like, whoa, I got to tell Tim. And Tim like lost his mind. He was like talking to her all night, like got a picture. It was really fun. So and she was lovely. She was really, really nice. Really great. Great dancer. Yeah. Just chilling and nice country songs in the Virginia.
That was still when you could get on the tables.
That was back when you could get on the tables. Yeah. Yeah, that's been outlawed since. I heard someone fell and like got hurt.
Yeah, but I'm sure it had to have been.
That happened every night. I mean, so they must have like tried to sue or something. So
yeah. I do remember the night that Peyton Manning was out at UVA.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it because I didn't go out that night. And I remember waking up the next morning and like half of my Snap and Instagram or whatever was like just pictures of Peyton Manning.
It was probably right after he was going to be doing the commencement speech, right?
Most likely. Anyway, missed Peyton Manning that night.
Yeah.
Glad you got to see his wife though.
Yeah, no, she was super nice. Super nice. I forget her name. So clearly, we didn't like spend the whole night with her or anything like that. But yeah, she was really, really cool. Really cool. Anyway, that's my fun story for the day. I want to do a quick update on like who's in the NBA. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do it. We're hitting on everything.
Yeah,
today,
this is a hodgepodge, mixed bag. We talked about K for 30 minutes. So we got to
talk about basketball, football, women's tennis, men's lacrosse,
if we're going to talk about Duke for 30 minutes, we're also going to talk about UVA sports for 30 minutes. We're gonna shove it down your throats if that's what it takes. So in the NBA, I know that the Nets are playing the Bucks in the second round. Joe Harris has been crushing it, really.
Yeah, great game last night, yeah.
And then DeAndre and the Hawks just won their first game today against the top-seeded Philadelphia 76ers. Which was great. Although Dre didn't play today. I don't know if he was hurt or if that was just a coach's decision. I did some light Twitter search. I couldn't find anything. It was just people saying, why isn't Hunter playing today? I mean, they beat the 76ers without DeAndre Hunter playing. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And he's been playing really good defense. Like, he did a great job of helping to guard Derek. He was guarding Derek Rose and Julius Randle.
Yeah, I mean,
in the same game.
Essentially
so.
1-4, 5 if needed
yeah.
defensively. He's already a great defender.
Yeah.
And
like DeAndre is so – but his shoulders are huge. Like he is bulked up in his couple of years in the NBA. So good to see he's doing well, back from injury as well. Kyle and Ty are not in the playoffs. Mike Scott is also on the Sixers. I don't think he got some run against Anthony Gill and the Wizards.
He basically gets run if Embiid isn't on the floor, and Embiid is pretty much always on the floor. Yeah, he's playing.
Although he got hurt in the Wizards series, so he was back today. I just I don't know how serious his meniscus hurt is.
Yeah,
injury, not injury. Hurt. I don't know how to do English well.
And then you also got Mamadi in there.
That's right, on the Bucks. Small Giannis. He's basically like they're basically treating him like he's Giannis, but just smaller and not as lengthy. I think
whatever, man. They love him. I know their social media. Mm-hmm. The team themselves actually love him.
Dude,
it's hard not to.
It's hard not to. He's so like full of joy. Like he plays basketball with joy, and it's really fun to watch a player like that. Did we forget anyone? I don't think so.
I know we did not have anyone in the Western Conference make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was on an EBA roster.
Yeah.
So I think we hit it. I think those were the guys.
I think that's it. Yeah. Cool. So what else? Is that it? Oh, Kurt Benkert's on the Packers now.
Yeah, Kurt Benkert's on SportsCenter every day. What's the Aaron Rodgers update? Here's the highlights.
Oh, really?
Jordan Love and Kurt Benkert, yeah.
Oh, do they interview them?
They don't interview them.
Oh, they just talk about them.
Well, there's just, here's Jordan Love, and the same shot as Jordan Love right beside Kurt Benkert.
And Kurt is right there
as well. So yeah, so he's getting his time in the spotlight.
Yeah.
He was picked up by the Packers. And
yeah.
Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, maybe he's got a shot. Yeah,
he'll be a backup.
So, anyway. Lots of stuff to follow. The beauty of the offseason, man, is you don't get the games, but
mm-hmm.
there's always
you get the drama, right?
Yeah, a lot of drama.
I've actually really got into watching the NBA playoffs. I think I turn them on every night. I used to not watch the NBA at all, like growing up. It was just like college basketball, college football. But I love watching the NBA playoffs. I think watching NBA regular season gets like kind of boring after a while. It's just like kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the same thing. I mean, it's really fun to watch them play, but it's kind of it's sometimes easy, and it's not always great during the regular season. But the playoffs are really fun. The defensive matchups that they try and do, the coaching that goes into the playoffs is really interesting, and I really enjoy watching them. So I turn them on every night.
No, I'm the same way. A lot more energy, and then honestly, just having the crowds back at close to full force is mm-hmm. a big deal too.
Yeah.
So there's so much more energy in the stadium now.
It's been fun. I'm really excited to see. I was joking with my dad that they announced that Scott Stadium will be at 100% capacity in the fall. But when was the last time we had 100%?
It's been a long time since we had a sellout.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I think we probably got pretty close against Florida State a couple years ago.
Yeah,
that
was a great. I mean, that was such a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Stadium was full.
Yeah,
night win.
Yeah,
awesome.
It was very beautiful. Cool. Anything else you want to mention, Rob? Any Tic Tacs or things that we didn't cover?
I'm out of ideas, man. I think we hit everything.
All right. Well, I guess that's all for us today. Thanks for joining us. This is the Guys Ties Podcast. I guess our schedules are so busy. I guess it. We'll just see what I mean. You're a full time podcaster now.
That's right. Yeah, and there's a definite lack of rhythm in the off season too.
Yeah.
It's football. We'll try to hit after every game. Basketball. Mm-hmm. You kind of follow that schedule.
Yeah.
Off season, it's a little bit more.
We'll have to get more creative. This is where the money gets made. This is why they pay us good money.
Of course.
yes, for the off season content. So anyway, we'll get into it later, but we'll see y'all next time. Go Hoos. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Guys and Tights Pod. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Snapchat. I don't know how much bonus content's been going up. No, just make
sure. Our avid fans know.
Yeah, they know. They know. The real ones know. Make sure to follow us there at Guys and Tights Pod. Go ahead and follow us on Spotify and iTunes if you want to keep listening. And we will see y'all next time. Go Hoos.